B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Jeff Van Gundy joins us right now. How are you, Coach?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks so much for coming on with us. Really appreciate it. We're obviously following our Sixers team here, and it feels like this team has a lot of talent. But every year we're left wanting more. Second round bounces. We're eager to see what happens this year. When you look at the Sixers from the outside looking in, what do you see?
I think last year you did have a lot of talent. This year, I think you're moderately talented. You know, Embiid, when he's healthy and in shape, is obviously a huge talent. Simmons is a terrific all-around player. Tobias Harris does some good things. But where the weaknesses are is where the game has gone, which is the Sixers have invested a lot of their money in their front court, and they don't have a lot of perimeter shot creators. And because of that, things can be harder on them offensively than most people would think, because I think the general consensus in the NBA from the media is that they're this uber talented team, and I just don't see it that way.
How would you coach them up if you were, you know, pulling the strings? How would you, I don't know, organize this talent, whatever they do have, to make them a little bit better?
Well, I think Brett has done a fabulous job in that. And I think because they have the weight of expectations on them, they at times they press a little bit, and they can be, you know, a little bit frustrated and play frustrated. And I think Brett is the perfect coach for them because he takes it on himself, and he has a way with words to me that help minimize that as much as possible. But the weight of expectation is real, and I think you really see it, and the stars will feel it, and Embiid and Simmons will feel it more and more as their careers go on. And I think that's why it'll be interesting for me to see what they do in the offseason to try to surround them with more perimeter players. Because right now, like, Tobias Harris is a four. Al Horford's a center. Embiid's a center. Simmons is a multi-versatile player. But a lot of those guys are sort of playing out of position, and I think it's been hard on them.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Jeff Van Gundy, when you talk about Ben Simmons and you talk about the talent that he does have, my assessment of him is that he's a guy that can obviously be a perennial all-star with all the things he can do on the court. But if he actually starts shooting the basketball, I think he could be a perennial MVP candidate. Do you think that's a fair assessment of Ben Simmons?
No.
No, okay.
I think the shooting part has been overdone. Just shooting doesn't make you guard somebody differently. Making at a high level of efficiency, that's what makes you guard somebody different. So, for instance, let's say Giannis, right? They surround Giannis with all this shooting, right? Center can shoot. Brooke Lopez, they've got all this shooting surrounding him, trying to open up the floor. What did they do for Westbrook? They got rid of their centers, and they tried to open up the floor for his penetration ability. So Simmons just shooting threes, to me, would be like Westbrook shooting threes. It's not going to change how you guard him. Same with Giannis. Like, if you make an occasional three, you're going to have to live with that, because you can't take away both the shot and the drive from those, like, special athletes. And so I think Simmons, obviously, the more you can do on the floor, the better. So if he can start making, and I would say it would be fine to make a 17 or 18 footer.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm on board for. I'm not even looking at threes yet.
Yeah, the three, I think if he takes and makes an occasional one, it'd be fine. But I just don't think, like, just shooting is the answer. Making is the answer.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Jeff Van Gundy here.
Jeff, your brother brought up an interesting point, which I agreed with yesterday, about the conditioning of the players affecting the defense down in the bubble. I would have guessed defense came first, offense would have been more sloppy. It appears it's inverted. And if the Sixers team has any chance of doing anything, it's probably based off of their defense. Is that a corner you still think they can turn while within the bubble, or is that something that's going to take more than the few games they're allotted?
No, I think they can be a very, very good defensive team. And I think it's conditioning. I also think it's care factor. I think to defend at a high level, either individually or as a team, there has to be belief that this really matters and we're going to hold each other accountable. And, you know, they have the core basis of, you know, Richardson, Simmons, Embiid defensively that can be really good. And then Horford off the bench, Thibault off the bench. Like, for them to win a first-round series, which I think if they match up with Boston, I give them very little chance of doing that. But if they do, it's going to be because their stars were great, they got timely shooting, and they were absolutely dominant defensively.
Wow. So you see the Celtics as being probably their worst matchup in the first round?
Well, yeah, I do. I think the Celtics are a championship caliber team that are well balanced, got a lot of perimeter players that can play. And obviously, you know, Embiid, if he has the mindset against, you know, the smaller Tice, and he wants to like really work to get deep post position, they would have an advantage there. But I just don't know offensively if they have enough, you know, offensive firepower and punch to be able to keep up with the Heat. I think, I mean, the Celtics,
right?
The Heat, I think, would be a tough matchup as well. Mm. You know, obviously Indiana, I think they're always overlooked. I think Indiana without Sabonis, but down here, TJ Warren has played phenomenal. They have very good depth. So, yeah, I think the Sixers have they have some really good players, and I think they're exceptionally well coached. I just don't think the roster totally fits together, and I think that's why it's going to be interesting in the offseason how they can retool to get more firepower on the perimeter. You know, because again, when you lose Redick and Butler, those are huge losses to your offense. And I think people thinking that, we'll find a way to score. I think, no, it's hard. And, you know, last year they were one bounce of the ball from going into overtime to get to the, you know, Eastern Conference Finals.
Sure.
Farsetta in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Speaking with Jeff Van Gundy, now you mentioned something a second ago, Embiid's mindset, if he has the mindset. I mean, it sounds like you see the same thing that a lot of us see in Philadelphia. Maybe this is something that we're all on the same page on. We hate the idea of a guy, his mind checking in and his mind checking out. How do you make sure a guy stays engaged? Can you coach that into a player?
No, I think, you know, Embiid, because he's so great, like, you know, his best games are, you know, ultimately they're just dominant. You just watch him. He's just, you know, what did he get, 41 and 20 in one game? I mean, you know, those numbers are like, you know, incredible. The thing I think he's got to do is make sure he puts maximum pressure on the opposing team to, you know, that he gets his team in the bonus by, like, running the floor, ceiling deep in the lane, fighting for every inch on the court so that he can get his free throw attempts, you know, high. He gets his team into the bonus early in each quarter, because every point that they can manufacture from their effort and his greatness, they have to take advantage of. Because, not trying to harp on this, but their perimeter ability from shot creation standpoint, it's more limited than most of the best teams in the NBA.
Yeah, it's borderline non-existent. And to that point, do you believe a team with the with a center as its anchor can win in today's NBA?
Well, it's not really the question of can they win, even it. Yeah, they can obviously, but it's what can you surround your best player with? And that goes into how you spend your money with the salary cap. Certainly, I think everyone would agree that Embiid is an elite player when he plays. His availability, obviously, is the biggest question mark, and it probably always will be. And so then you have to make sure you have enough perimeter players who can create shots and that you have enough shooting around those guys while all the while still being able to defend. And it's hard. Like, the job of a general manager in the NBA to take a team that's very good, which the Sixers were last year, borderline, I would say they were championship caliber last year, right? And now Jimmy Butler leaves, J.J. Redick leaves, you sign Horford. So you've replaced two very good and efficient perimeter players with a big that's now, you would hope they could play together effectively, but they really didn't as much. So now your big offseason acquisition is a backup. And you can't have everything in this league. And so it's all about choices. And so, yes, Embiid can be the best player on a championship caliber team if he's available. It's always the question of, after that, can you surround them with enough complementary pieces to make it work?
Mm-hmm. Jeff, we really appreciate you coming on with us. Do you have any experience with the bubble? How is it going in your opinion?
Well, the media bubble is different than the player bubble. Mm-hmm. The player bubble is more restrictive, obviously, because they actually matter to the whole process. Us in the media, not so much. So, you know, we get tested twice a week, and but everything is good. It's just hard to be away from family and friends for such a long period of time. But in the bubble itself, well thought out, tremendous accomplishment so far for the NBA, and hopefully we can end it with a, you know, legitimate champion, and everybody can stay healthy.
No, we're all hoping the same thing. You know, I always like to ask, you know, former coaches and coaches and broadcasters about their experiences in Philly. When you think of Philadelphia, what is the first thing that comes to mind as a coach or even as an announcer?
Rabid fan base. I think when we played the Sixers, no matter whether they were going through an up time when the Iverson years or they were like not as good. The thing I loved about it is you knew you had to be ready because a Philadelphia team was going to play hard and the fan base was going to be right down your throat. And I love that about Philly. I miss that sort of intensity and passion. You know, when you move out of that East Coast area and you go to Texas, which is great place to live and good, great teams and all that and good fan bases. But the rabidness of the Philly fan base, the East Coast fan, is just different.
Yeah, I like to say we're the type of people that tell you, yes, those pants make you look fat. That's kind of how I view our whole city. That's our mentality. We're very honest. And I feel like you right now with us are being very honest about our Sixers team. So, Jeff, I thank you for coming on with us. We really appreciate that. I really enjoyed the conversation. Good luck the rest of the way in the bubble.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right.
Thanks,
appreciate
Jeff.
Jeff Van Gundy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.